Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on food apocalypse GMOs when we come back. Biotech beans, chemical corn, frankenfish, and the pesticide potato. That's what's on the menu at your local neighborhood supermarket. And we are concerned that this technology is a serious threat to our health, to traditionally bred open pollinated seeds, and to the environment, and to the farmers that grow them. Listen to this quotation from the Chicago Tribune, which said, quote, "We're being exposed to one of the largest uncontrolled experiments in history. In less than 5 years, these multinational companies have flooded the marketplace with thousands of untested and unlabeled products containing foreign genetic material. These genetically modified organisms pose several real dangers because they have been engineered to create novel proteins that retard spoilage, produce their own pesticides against insects, or allow the plants to tolerate larger and larger doses of weed killers," unquote. And you know, what's really scary about all of this is that it's not from Tom Clancy's latest thriller. These seeds are already a major part of the U.S. corn and soybean crops. So what happens if one of these so-called suicide genes, which prevents seed saving, what if it goes haywire and destroys the entire U.S. corn crop? Or what if it turns out that genetically modified rice kills people? Or what if it turns out that it causes genetic mutations or birth defects in people like thalidomide did back in the 1950s? Well, I don't want to take that risk, and I don't want to be a human guinea pig in this ill-advised experiment. And I'll just bet that you don't either. And so, if you want a package of seeds that comes with seeds for a family of five or more and instructions on how to save or store seeds for the long term, we're in a battle for your health and safety and the financial interests of the multinational seed and food processing companies, and you're going to lose unless you have your own non-hybrid open pollinated seed that are not genetically modified or genetically engineered. Now, the law school has a program to teach you how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less, and how to procure, produce, and use open pollinated seeds. It's a 5-day school, and it includes lessons on marketing, business plans, growing organic foods, and the law. Why don't you call and order our free 4-hour CD package? That's the place to start. It's entertaining, it's informative, it's educational, and it's free of charge. And the number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967 to order yours today. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website. It's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email and send us an email request or call us direct, again, at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about food apocalypse GMOs. Most people don't know much about genetically modified organisms. It's not something that's on the front page or the front burner of the Lehrer NewsHour or the CBS or NBC or ABC Evening News. I haven't even seen a program, I don't think, on Frontline, although they usually put on some kind of an expose about this kind of technology or technologies like it, especially when they threaten people. But if you'd like a copy of the book, it's 125 pages. Now, remember, you need a copy of the book because I can only cover maybe 10, 15% of a book when I review it. The other 50 or 75 or 90% of the book that I don't cover, I don't review, has information that's important that you need to know if you're interested in taking some kind of evasive action. But in order to do that, you got to have a source to collect the book, and like as not, you'll go to Barnes & Noble and walk in, they won't have it. Well, if they don't have it at your local bookstore, or if you can't get it, you know, at Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com, there's a bookstore that carries this kind of material. And they're called BraveNewBookstore.com. If you're online, just go to BraveNewBookstore.com. And the book you're looking for here is Food Apocalypse. That's spelled APOCALYPSE GMOs. Brave New Bookstore has a phone number. They're in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas. The number is 512-480-2503. Again, that's 512-480-2503. If you need an address, it's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, A-U-S-T-I-N, Austin, Texas, 78705. Again, that's 1904 Guadalupe Street, Suite B, Austin, Texas, 78705. Now, last time we were talking about the labeling requirements. There's none. Zero. Zilch. Nada. So, you have to know something about GMOs, and this is one of those sources of information that'll tell you what you need to know and what it is you're looking for to avoid it. Now, if you don't care, that's fine, no problem. Make sure that you've got plenty of health insurance. You're going to need it. Because the diseases that are now beginning to crop up that are being linked to these GMOs are just like the pharmaceutical companies that come to us, you know, and they say, hey, this Tambacore, it's really great stuff. And then it kills 50,000 people. I think that's the name of one of them, Tambacore. And then there was another one called Vioxx here the other day. They had to remove from the market. It had killed around 50,000 people. Remember, doctors bury their victims. They bury their mistakes. Lawyers put their mistakes in prison. So nobody hears about these mistakes that are being made. Now, if you don't want to be one of the mistakes, then you got to take some action ahead of time. So it seems obvious to me that the biotech industry knew right from the start that if the American people had been properly informed about GMOs and had a choice, they most likely would have rejected them. So based on this assumption, it looks as though the biotech industry, in concert with the government, made every effort to underplay gene-spliced foods with the public. And unfortunately, the government, the biotech industry, and the media seem to be willing partners, the three of them together, in this charade. And it reminds me of an appropriate saying that forgiveness is easier than permission. Now, knowing that a well-informed public would more than likely not accept GM foods, the biotech companies foisted upon them and foisted upon us quietly and without our consent these GMO foods. Even now that some activist groups are forcefully pushing for proper labeling, every effort is being taken to prohibit this from happening in the Congress and in the state legislature. One of the specious arguments that the biotech industry uses to oppose food labeling is that nutritional content of the food has not been changed. I'm going to pause right here because I'm one of the consumers out here, and when I hear this kind of crap, it just ticks me off. Let's suppose that that's true and that the food has not been changed. That does not mean, Mr. Biotech sucker, that I don't want to know that there's biotech genes in the product. I want you to know, boys and girls, that I don't eat unclean meat. I don't eat pork. So unless you say, you know, oh, that guy Gordon, he must be a Jew, I want you to know that there are a billion Muslims in the world, and they don't eat pig either. And they're not Jews. Christians have a problem in life, and it's pretty self-evident by their education. You know, if you read Mein Kampf, you've got to be a Nazi. If you have read the 10 Planks to the Communist Manifesto, then you must be a communist. And if you don't eat pig, you must be a Jew. I've done all three, and I'm not a communist, I'm not a Nazi, and I'm not a Jew. All right, now with that out of the way, let's get on with it. When I go to the store, I want to look at the label and I want to see if there's any pork products. It isn't that I don't like beans, but when I walk up and I see Campbell's pork and beans, I'm grateful that the Campbell's people put pork and beans right on the label. See? Now, sometimes they don't market pork and beans. Sometimes they use pork products in the finished product. And then for people like me, you know, you may be a vegetarian. And if you're a vegetarian, well, you'd kind of like to know if there's any meat products in this overall product. Is this a vegetarian pizza, or does this pizza contain meat? And so we can, in most cases, get that. Now, with GMOs, I want to know if there's genetically modified organisms in the product. I want to know that. And they don't want to tell me. So right away, I get real suspicious. And I get real up front with multinational corporations like Nestle's and Kraft and Hershey's and Dan and the rest of them, General Mills, because they're trying to hide it from me, because they know that I wouldn't buy it. And they know that there's multiple millions of other people out here just like me that wouldn't buy it either. So they're not trying to satisfy the marketplace. They're not bringing me what I want to buy. They are cramming down my throat what they want me to eat, and I don't like that. I don't like that any more than a Jew would like a Christian cramming Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage down his throat. He doesn't want it. Or any more than a vegetarian wants to eat a pepperoni pizza. He doesn't want it. Now, as a consumer, I want to buy what I want to buy. Vegetarians want to buy what they want to buy, and so I'm pretty open-minded about it. You know, I'm not opposed to vegetarians eating vegetarian. I don't care. No skin off my back. And I don't care about Jews that don't want to eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. And all you Christian pig eaters out there that want to eat it, get after it. I just think there ought to be a label on the package that says this package contains pork. And all you pork eaters out there will eat it and love it. And then all you vegetarians can avoid it, and all of us Jews can avoid it, and all of us Muslims can avoid it. And that's what the marketplace is all about. But now the GMO people over here, they want to sell the GMO, and then they don't want to tell us about it. And that ought to tell you right off the bat that there's something wrong with their product. If their product was as good as they're telling us, you know, if this thing has got 10 times the vitamins and minerals and it's ecologically safe and all of that, let them come forward and tell us that. And let us put it right out there on the label. Let's not hide it. So, the fact that it's been changed, they've publicly said that if, in fact, foods containing GMOs were different in any way from regular foods, then the FDA should indeed require that these products be labeled. But since, according to the food manufacturers, the nutritional content of the food is not changed, they should not be subject to any special labeling. Now, imagine that. They're splicing a number of unknown genes into our foods, and yet they have the audacity to say that you don't have a right to know about that? I say that's tyranny. Now, what about people who are vegetarians or vegans who don't want foods derived from animal products? And there was one I just pointed out to you. They're gene splicing rats into the lettuce. Kids, I don't want to eat rat. And I don't want lettuce that's gene spliced with rats. And I don't want some Harvard business graduate deciding for me what I should or shouldn't, or what's good or not good for me. The Harvard people can go to hell in a handbasket and take their Kraft Foods and General Mills right along with them. Bottom line, I want to know. If you don't want to know, I don't care. It's no skin off my back. But I want to know. Now, they don't want to tell me, so I thought I would report to you that they don't want to tell you either. And that makes me highly suspicious. These businessmen, you know, the big multinational CEOs and boards of directors are sitting over there deciding for us that we ought to have rat genes spliced into our lettuce, and I'm sitting over here saying I'm not so sure that I want that. I don't give a damn what the hell the justification is or what the nutritional content of the lettuce is. I want to know whether or not I'm eating a rat or not. The guy's going to say, oh, no, no, you're not eating a rat. You're just eating rat code, you know. Okay, thank you, thank you. Now let me tell you plainly, partner, that I don't want to eat your rat code either. Got that? So put me down, I'm one. And there's 50 more of you people out there that think just like I do. And by the time about 1,000 of us write a letter, I think, to Kraft or Nestle's or Hershey's or somebody and say, now listen, boys, we're not going to buy your products until you clean up your act. You know, 1,000, that's 50,000. Let's say 10,000 people, you know, that's 5 million, isn't it? Let's just take 10,000 here. My super sharp 1197 times 50. Yeah, that would be 500,000, not 5 million, but 500,000 people. Now, you know, if 500,000 people say, I'm not going to buy General Mills Wheaties, or I'm not going to buy General Mills or Kellogg's cornflakes until you clean up this GMO thing over here. You know, 500,000 people that are spending, you know, how many dollars do you spend on these Kellogg's cornflakes? We eat a box a week. It's $3 a box. You know, that's $150 a year. Let's just take that times 150 in a year. That's $75 million. And Kellogg's and General Mills can kiss off $75 million because we're going to go to their competitors and buy it from Health Valley or from somebody else at Whole Foods or Wild Oats or anybody but General Mills and Kellogg. Now, they may be unwittingly eating a food that contains animal genes or possibly even human genes. Don't they have a right to know this? And sadly, current law doesn't even allow them a choice. I don't need the lawmakers to give me a choice. I don't need the labeling on the packages. I just avoid the whole corporation's product line. I mean, there's whole companies. I don't even buy the stuff they make. Kellogg's is right at the top of the list. I don't even buy Kellogg's product. When I walk in a store and I see the name Kellogg's, General Mills, Coca-Cola, I don't even buy it. Period. I don't care what's in it. I don't even read their labels anymore. How do you like that? I don't even read their labels. Don't need to. And there's millions of people like me out there. And so when I get on the air and I say, okay, well, now let's figure out a way for us, you know, you're a vegetarian, I'm not, but then I'm all for you vegetarians over there. I don't want to eat foods that are gene spliced with human genes. I don't want to do it. I don't want rat genes. You know, and I'm sure that there's Jews out there and Muslims. You know, there's 7 million Muslims here in this country. So all of you Muslims out there that don't want to eat pig, human genes, rat genes, and so on, let's start thinking about, you know, 7 million Muslims, and I think there's 5 million Jews. That's 12 million. I don't know how many vegetarians you got out there, but I would imagine there's 10, 15 million of you guys out there. So, you know, that's about... 7 to 5 is 12, and 12, but 12 is, no, 25 million. I'll bet there's 25 million Americans that don't want to eat that. So let's stop buying or catering to the companies that don't care. If they don't care about us, why should we care about them? Now, last week I told you a story here about, in story time, about Frontier Airlines and about how they treated me and how I went out on the road. I went out on the road and I started telling audiences. Then I said, everybody's got 10 friends. Now, if you go out and tell your 10 friends to buy this book called Food Apocalypse GMOs, first of all, here's what you could do. You could call the Brave New Bookstore. And you could say, how much would you charge me for a case of this? I mean, they're $8.95, you know, for one book. But I bet you if you bought a case of them, you'd probably get them for $6. And if you bought a case of them and you got them for $6, and let's say that there's, I don't know, there's a pretty small book, and say there's 48 in here, 6 times 48, be $300, $288. And you take $300 and you buy a case of books and you start passing them out to your friends. And you say, read this book, Bob, and let's discuss it at some length. And let's do something intelligent and constructive about this. Let's write a letter to Kellogg's. Let's write a letter to Kraft. I like to stir up hate and discontent among corporations and government officials. Let's stir up a little hate and discontent here. You know, if you're a Muslim and you're listening to this program and you get this book, it costs you $300, and you go out here and you say to your friend Bob, you know, if you think this book is worth $6 or you got $6 out of it, compensate me for the $6, would you, Bob? But I'm going to save you the time, effort, and energy. The book costs $9, but I'm going to give it to you for $6. If you would, if you don't agree with it, keep it. Don't pay me a dime. And I'll bet you for the little bit of money that you spend here, it'll be one of those fun kind of adventures. Instead of spending your money on carnival cruises or on Disneyland, you spend your money on books. And you go out and you send them out. And you say to your friend, you say, now you've got 10 friends, Bob. 10 friends. And I want you to take this information, I want you to take this book, and I want you to spread it around among 10 of your buddies. And then have each one of those buddies write a letter to each one of these people that are on page 122. In fact, you go back here to page 122. God, I love it. And you take General Mills, Nestle, Heinz Food, Nabisco, Procter & Gamble. I bet all these companies have websites. And all these companies will have an email address, you know, if you want to send it. In fact, you can just pick up a can, you know, in a grocery store for Nabisco, you know, or a package. And I bet you they'll have a website that says, send a Nabisco and get a recipe. And then send them an email and tell them what you think and ask them, well, when are you going to get off this GMO thing over here? And if you are, fine. If you're not, okay, then I won't buy your products. I won't use them. And I told you earlier, I said, now, your letter represents 50 other people. 50. Only 2% of people, and you people listening to me right now, do you know how many of you people are going to respond to this suggestion? 2 out of 100, 2%. The other 98 of you out there are going to listen to it, and it sounds real good, and you'll cheer us on, but you physically won't do anything yourself. It's the way people are. But 2% of you will. But that's all it takes, because everybody that's in marketing knows that when you get a letter, it represents 50 more people just like you. If they went out and had a Nielsen survey, they'd find that that's exactly correct, that there's 50 people just like you. So when Heinz gets 50 letters, they know that 2,500 other people out there have the same view that you have. And so they just multiply the number of letters that they get times that view, and they come into the board meeting and say, God, we got a real problem over here. Our problem is, you know, we're losing. There's 7 million people out there that aren't buying our product because our product contains pork. You can rest assured that if a product contains pork, that there are 5 million Jews and 7 million Muslims here in the United States that won't buy it. And God only knows how many Adventists and other groups over here that wouldn't buy it either. Now, if the pork in the product sells more product. No, in other words, it appeals to Catholics and Protestants and Baptists. Well, then, you know, put the pig in it. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that want to eat Jimmy Dean pure pork sausage. What we're trying to do is to get the labeling on there. And we're not opposed to people smoking Marlboros or eating pig. We're opposed to people forcing us to smoke Marlboros and eat pig when we don't know it because they won't label it. Now, that's our objective. Our objective is the labeling. So, are you for or opposed to labeling? You might ask Kraft. Are you for or against GMOs? And if you are opposed, when are you going to take it out of your products? Give me a date so I can go back to buying Kraft again. And I think you're going to be amazed over here. If you get a few people doing that, it doesn't have to be millions. It just has to be a few hundred thousand. Even these big multinational corporations will say, in fact, they've already started. I saw a piece the other day. I think it was Kellogg's. There's four or five of the big companies like General Mills and Kellogg. Because of the backlash on GMOs concerning corn and corn products, I'm pretty sure it was Kellogg's and General Mills said that they're going to phase out GMOs, are going to offer non-GMO. Now, the only reason that that happens is because of buyers that refuse to buy their product. People like me. So I'm just suggesting, you know, a case of books. I don't know if there's 12 in a case or 48 or 24 or whatever it is, but if you get a case, you can probably get them for $6 a book or $7 or something like that. They'll give you a little discount, 10, 20%. And then go spread that around, and you can stir up more hate and discontent than you can shake a stick at. God, you'll love it. I just can't tell you how rewarding it is to stir up hate and discontent. Now, the FDA official, Jim Mariansky, made a ridiculous statement regarding labeling. He said, now this is the FDA. Now listen to this crap. Labeling is a very difficult issue, and under the current law, we don't have authority that's broad enough to require labeling simply because consumers would like to have the information. This is the FDA says, oh God, we just don't have the authority to require craft to label it, you know. We just can't do it. Just because people want to know. Hell, even if I wasn't going to use the information and I said, well, it's just because I want to know. You know, there's lots of labels that have information that I don't particularly want to know, but it's on there. Because I guess maybe there's somebody else that wants to know. For instance, I went in the other day and I bought a pillow and it said, under penalty of law, do not remove this label. I really didn't need to know that. And I really didn't give a rat's rectum one way or the other. And the first thing I did when I got home was I cut the damn thing off with the scissors. Now there! How do you like that? Just to show you what I thought of your damn notice. So there's lots of labels that are being put on things. Like I saw a label the other day on a chainsaw over at Ace Hardware Store. It said, do not touch chain while moving. First of all, you'd have to be a moron to touch a chain on a chainsaw that's moving. And secondly, if you were a moron, you probably wouldn't be able to read the label anyway. So what in the hell do we need a label that says don't touch the moving chain on a chainsaw? And I got to say, I see a lot of these insane labels, you know, that are on there. I'll tell you what, GMOs on my food over here, I think, is a hell of a lot more important than a sign on a chainsaw that says, don't touch moving chain. I mean, there's just some things in life, you know, that don't need to be explained, do they? Well, all right, kids, I'm going to get my paper out here and remind you here at the mid-course reminder here for the government agencies involved around the world that you are listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, the law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and we are open to individuals, but by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. If you'd like more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and that can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do it 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417 217-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief in the law or an editorial review. Please is pleased to give credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse and recommend are necessarily going to reciprocate. Most of these authors and publications cited on the Law Hour may be, don't have to be, but they may be hostile. They may be political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you do hear on this program are mine, and they're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our website is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or call us at 417-273-4967. All right, FDA official Jim Mariansky over here made a ridiculous statement. In another telling interview, Mariansky said this. He said, if we were to require labeling of all genetically engineered fruits and vegetables, it would not be merely a matter of putting a sticker on a tomato or a banana. Producers would have to segregate the genetically engineered foods from other varieties, whereas normally those are just lumped into a barrel. And then what happens when you make a tomato paste, and when that tomato paste is used to make pizzas? Does the label have to follow along through the food processing chain? And it would increase the cost of these foods to consumers and would disrupt our complex food distribution system. Okay, I want to pay the extra cost, Mr. Mariansky. Put it on my bill. I'll pay you. Tell me what's in there. Furthermore, I want to know when I go to Pizza Hut that Pizza Hut is not using genetically modified foods. And if they can't tell me that, yes, they are, I don't want to buy their pizza. How's that for a plan? And then the Pizza Hut people. Now, I'm sure there's lots of people out there that want to buy genetically engineered or genetically modified foods in the same way that there's lots of people want to buy fat, pork, shellfish. And I think that they should. And I think that they should have a label on there that says that this is pure Jimmy Dean, pure pork sausage. I don't disagree with that. And the rest of us want to know that also. You know, when I go into a restaurant, I oftentimes ask them, is there any pork in this? Any MSG? Do you use MSG? Sometimes the waitress says they're about as dumb as a blonde at Mills, but you know, they'll go back and ask somebody and then come back and they'll tell me. And then if I find out that they're lying to me or something like that, then I go to the manager and I say, you know, your girl lied to me. Now, restaurants are very, very careful about that because, see, there's a lot of people running around in our society that are allergic. They have violent allergic reactions, life-threatening allergic reactions to certain chemicals in the foods. So almost invariably, you know, if you're smart enough to ask the waitress, who will then in turn go back and ask the cook, you know, do you have MSG in your food? Or they'll come back and they'll say, well, we don't know. We looked on the labels of the products that we use, and it doesn't say that it is, but we couldn't guarantee it. And then you can order something else. And for Jews and Muslims and some Christians, you know, that's important to them. For most people it isn't, but to some people it is. Now, what I'm trying to do is to bring your attention to this GMO and the fact that they don't want to label it. You know, right away, that ought to tell you something. And they'll label a pillow and tell you not to remove the label. They'll put a label on a chainsaw that a five-year-old kid ought to be smart enough to figure out. You ought not to touch the chain, you know, when it's moving. Now, surely they can put something on here as important as an uncontrolled experiment on 300 million people. It would seem like to me that some of us, if we asked, could be excused from the experiment. Now, I'll tell you what I want to do. I want this GMO experiment to go forward, and I want you to eat it, and eat lots of it, and enjoy yourself. And then I want to watch you for about 10 years. And then I want to see what kind of health you have at the end of 10 years. It's kind of like methamphetamines. See, I took a look at this meth thing. And God, it must feel good. It must taste good. It's highly addictive. It must really be the greatest stuff since sliced white bread because there's so many people that like it. But I watched the before and after pictures of people that are meth addicted. And when I got through looking at the pictures, I was smart enough to figure out I don't think I want to buy that product. I'm not a genius by any stretch of the imagination, but just my common sense says, you know, it doesn't strike me as being too good a product there. Now, going on here, can you imagine the biotech industry has genetically altered our complex food distribution system without our consent by introducing GM foods, and yet the FDA is trying to make the public feel guilty about how disruptive proper labeling would be. So what's wrong with this picture? Can you see through their hypocrisy? It is this type of reasoning that has allowed genetically modified foods to creep into about 75% of all the packaged foods now being sold in America. That's the bad news. The good news is 25% is not GMO. And so I go out and I buy 100% of that 25%. It's like I tell my students, you see, when you file an appeal in the judicial process, you know, you're not satisfied with the answer that you got here at this court, and so you want to file an appeal. You need to know that 1% of these appeals work and 99% fail. Now, that's in federal court. Get a little better percentage in state courts, but in federal court, it's only 1%. So when a federal judge tells you something, it's 99% certain that he's right. So anytime you hear a federal judge tell you something, you can just 99% of the time he's right. 1% of the time he's wrong. Now, if you want your appeal to succeed, you have to put yourself into that 1% 100% of the time. Now, I've been able to do that on numerous occasions. And if you want to be a Rosa Parks, then you've got to be that one person in 100 that's got the right issue at the right time. Then the federal judge made a mistake, and you identified his mistake. Now you're going to take it up to his superiors. Doesn't happen very often, but once in a while. Monsanto's former president and CEO, Hendrik Vilfeli, made a notable statement in the January 2001 issue of Grocery Headquarters magazine regarding the labeling of biotech foods. Monsanto supports food labeling programs that provide important safety or nutritional information to consumers. Label information should be truthful and based on sound science, not emotional, unfounded allegations. Okay, well, I disagree with Mr. Monsanto's CEO. Even if I'm emotional and my fears are totally unfounded allegations, I still want to know what's in the package. That's all. And I may be emotional, and my thinking may be totally addled. And I'm sure that every Baptist, every pig-eating Christian in America will say, Gordon's position on not eating pork is wrong, wrong, wrong. Okay, 14 million Baptists are probably right and I'm wrong. I still don't want to eat pig, Baptist. And I still want a label that says pork and beans. And I'm not going to get in the way of a Baptist eating pork and beans, but I'm not going to eat them. And I'm going to avoid them like AIDS, herpes, and VD. Now, I may be emotional, and my allegations may be totally unfounded, but they're mine, and that's what I want. And if I don't get it, I'm not going to buy it. Now, fortunately for Monsanto, most people can't read or don't care. That's fine by me. If you can't read or don't care, that's your problem in life, not mine. But I can read and I do care, and so I'm not going to buy it. Now, I buy Monsanto products. Monsanto puts out some good products. And once in a while, I go in there and I buy something that I need. And I'm not opposed to Monsanto. I'm not opposed to Kraft. I'm not opposed to Nestle. Hell, you know, they turn out some good products, I'm sure. But their position is that I don't have a right to know. And I'm sitting here saying, excuse me, pardon me, I don't have a right to know. You want me to spend my money in your store, and I don't have a right to know? Boy, have I got news for that turkey. A key committee of the American Medical Association held a meeting in Orlando, Florida in early December of 2000, and one item on their agenda was to discuss genetically engineered foods. A snippet of a report that was released shockingly states, here's what they said, quote, "There's no scientific justification for special labeling of genetically modified foods, and that voluntarily labeling them is without value unless it is accompanied by focused consumer education," unquote. I think that means focused consumer propaganda. I think that the word propaganda is probably what they meant to tell us. But listen, I'm not opposed to Monsanto coming over the airwaves and spending their money telling me how good GMOs are. I believe in free speech. I believe in the First Amendment. I believe that Monsanto and anybody has a right to get up there and tell me what they think about GMOs. And I'm not opposed to that. And I think that those that are opposed to these genetically modified organisms ought to get up there and say what they want to say and say their piece, and they're certainly entitled to make that statement. Again, I want to get back to the labeling. Here's the AMA. They come along. What in the hell business has the AMA got in this labeling argument to start with? What's their interest in it? So, the AMA, just to give you a little information, don't you find it a little curious that the AMA is so supportive of the biotech industry? Since the AMA is just a sister branch of the pharmaceutical industry, and all biotech companies are either offshoots or divisions of pharmaceutical companies, it doesn't really surprise me to see statements such as this. The AMA is a biased, opinionated group of people that couldn't find their hind ends at high noon with a roadmap in both hands when it comes to medicine. And now they're going to tell us that we don't need to know about biotech foods, and they're the guys that gave us thalidomide, Vioxx, and Tambacol, prescribed by these turkeys that killed 50,000 people, and then they had to take it off the market. You know, mistakes are made, aren't they? You know, mistakes happen. But, you know, once you've made these mistakes, like Tambacol, Vioxx, and thalidomide, now that's three biggies right there that affected several hundred thousand people. I would say the AMA is about the last group you want to go to get some kind of important information about medicine, pharmaceuticals, or health. The last place in the world, boys and girls, you want to go for health advice is to a medical doctor. How do I know that? Well, listen. There's a guy by the name of Joel Wallach, and he put out a tape called Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Did you know that medical doctors die on average at age 58? Did you know that the average lifespan in America is 75.5? Do you know that the average truck driver lives to be 20 years older than the average medical doctor? Boys and girls, truck drivers don't know anything about health, and they outlast doctors by 20 years. The last guy in the world that you should go to for medical advice is a medical doctor that dies on average at age 58. What in the hell does he know about health? An idiot can live to be age 75, for crying out loud, know absolutely nothing about health. Well, as long as he stays away from the medical doctors. Had an old hillbilly lady over here one day. Her brother died. I was over buying milk. She's selling goat's milk years ago, and I went over there to buy some goat's milk. And she hadn't been there a day or two before, and I said, I came over on Monday. You weren't here. Oh, I had to go to a funeral. I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Who died? She said, my brother. And I said, your brother? And she's a fairly young woman. I thought, geez, you know, she's about 30, 35 years old, and her brother died. Well, how old was your brother? He said, he was 28. 28. I said, oh, what did he die of? And he said, oh, they just doctored him to death. Yeah, he came up with some infection. They took him to the hospital, and they just doctored him to death. And so this lady isn't the sharpest marble in the drawer, but she was smart enough to identify what the problem was. Just doctored him to death. All right, now Natural Foods Merchandiser, a health food industry trade magazine, reported in their January 2001 issue that food giant Sara Lee rejected requests by opponents to label products containing genetically modified ingredients at their 60th annual shareholders meeting. Sara Lee, CEO Steve McMillan, had the audacity to say this. He said the government doesn't require such labeling, and such a costly undertaking would confuse consumers. Okay. Hey, partner. It won't confuse me at all. Honest to God, you can trust me. Now, you can also trust me that I will not buy Sara Lee products. I don't buy, if it says Sara Lee on it, I don't buy it. Why is it? Well, because of this jerk that said the government doesn't require such labeling and such a costly undertaking would just confuse little Georgie Gordon. I'm offended, jerk. Hey, you jerk. I am offended. I will not be confused by your labeling. I'm real confused by your non-labeling. I'm confused because who in his right mind operating a company like Sara Lee would offend customers like me? Now, your products aren't bad. The Sara Lee product line is pretty good. I used to buy Sara Lee's all the time. I thought they had pretty good products. I wasn't concerned about them until this GMO thing came up, and then I got to looking at their labels, and then I got to finding out that Sara Lee comes up with jerks as their CEOs like this that come out here and offend their customers. Why don't you write Sara Lee a letter and say, jerk, I'm real offended. That's what I did to Frontier Airlines. I didn't call them jerks, but I wrote them a letter and I said, I'm kind of offended. I'm a businessman and I need to go from here to there. If I can't fly in your airline without an identification, let me know. I'll go fly on somebody else's airline. Now they got to the point that everybody wants everybody to be identified, and I'm sitting here saying, well, okay, I won't fly on anybody's airline. How's that for a plan? Until they clean up their act and get some intelligence back there. But as long as they got the government involved in the airline business, there won't be any intelligence. There won't be any reason, logic, or common sense in the airline industry until you get the government out of it. Anything that the government gets involved in, they screw it up. They just screw it up. And if you can name one thing that the government's involved in that they haven't screwed up, send me an email and let me know what it is. And I'll put it on the air. Now, the situation is so critical of these novel Frankenfoods are so entrenched in the marketplace that even if a labeling law were passed by Congress today, it'd be years before labeling products made their way onto the store shelves, unless, of course, food companies decide to do it voluntarily. Now, there's a lot of food companies that do it voluntarily. Oh, boys and girls, remember 25%. We just saw here 75% of the foods have 60 to 75%, I don't know exactly. I'm going to take the high number. 75% of the foods have GMOs. Hey, but 25% don't, and the 25% that don't are plainly marked organic, non-GMO. I buy those every day, and I pay a premium to get them. Now, you can do the same thing. Now, if you don't want to, that's your choice in life. Life is filled with choices. The people that got on the Titanic made a choice. They wanted to ride on the ship with no lifeboats because it was constructed by the company, which was the low bidder, and it was unsinkable. It's kind of like the perpetual motion machine. And since they built the Titanic, there's been more than one ship sink since the sinking of the Titanic. So this nonsense about ships being unsinkable, come on, kids. Ships sink. Ships need lifeboats. Now, the situation is too serious for us to wait 2, 3, or 4 years for labeling. As I see it, our only recourse is to rise up in righteous anger and either demand from the food suppliers themselves that our foods be totally free of all genetically engineered ingredients, or that proper labeling be in place so consumers have a choice. Well, I'm not really quite sure that that's true. So let me put in my little editorial comment. The Sara Lee people certainly have a choice to make. And they made their choice. They said, in effect, we're not going to tell you what's in our products. So I would say that every Muslim, every Jew, every Seventh-day Adventist, everybody who is concerned about clean and unclean foods from the Bible, should take that as the gauntlet has been thrown down and we should not buy Sara Lee products. Period. So when I see the label that says Sara Lee, I don't even pick up the product and read the ingredients on the package. Got that? Now, when I go into a store, I always read the labels. So I read the label to see, well, what's in here. And so when I see lecithin, I say to myself, oh, is this product marked GMO-free? No, it's not. Is it marked organic? No, it's not. Jeez, who puts this out? Kraft. Or Sara Lee. Or. And so pretty soon, when we go to the store, there are just certain brands that we don't even read their labels. They're not even in the running. They don't even need to tell what's in the package. We don't even buy that crap. Now, if that's the choice that they want to make, let them make it. That's what freedom is all about in the marketplace. Now, on the other hand, you know, there's companies out there like Hain and Tree of Life, and many others, and they plainly mark their products non-GMO or no GMO soybeans and it's organic and so on. So I pick theirs up and I read their labels to see if it's got pork or something else that might be objectionable, but at least they're in the running. And then after I read their labels, then I become comfortable with that brand. See, I used to become comfortable with the Sara Lee brand. There was a time when I was comfortable with General Mills, Kellogg's, Nestle. Not anymore. See, once I pick up a book and I take a look at it and I say, oh my God, what are these people thinking about? Well, you see, these companies, they hire people that come out of Harvard and Yale and certain business schools. And the people that are trained in these business schools, you know, I guess that they're not trained in marketing to minorities like myself. And as a result of that, maybe they just don't care, or they didn't have anybody explain to them that, you know, a minority of one like George Gordon has 10 friends. And I'm on a campaign. I'm on a tear. You know, I'm not here stirring up hate and discontent against Sara Lee, Nestle, General Mills, Kellogg's. You know, clean up your act, boys. Now, I think that if General Mills wants to use GMOs, they certainly ought to. My objection is that General Mills ought to tell me that they're doing that. You know, if they want to put in spider legs, ground up spider legs into their Kellogg's cornflakes, that's fine by me. I don't want to buy it. And I think they ought to put two packages out there. One of them that says non-spider leg, and one that says contains spider legs, so that I could make an intelligent choice. If they don't want to do that, well, then I don't want to buy their brand at all. And I've got 10 friends, and I'm out here telling them. See, that's why I'm on the air. See, I talk to 7 million people a year. So I'm going to tell all 7 million of those people that all 7 million of you people out there, all of you have 10 friends. That's 70 million. 70 million. Mr. Sara Lee, you jerk. And those 70 million all have 10 friends. And that's everybody in America. See how easy that is, boys and girls, when you want to make a change? Now, you and I go out into the marketplace. I don't have to buy cornflakes. No, I can live without cornflakes. I like cornflakes. I like potato chips. I like Hershey bars. I like Coca-Cola. But if those Harvard graduate CEOs don't care about me and what I think and what I want to buy, then I don't care about their product and I don't want to buy it. You know, it works both ways. No fuss, no muss. So there's the story on the labeling of the product. Now, with the government and the media and Orthodox Science on their side, you know, the food industry giants are feeling pretty confident that they can thwart any attack by the public and then reign victorious. It'll take a mighty strong grassroots movement to stop them. Hell, I'm not in any grassroots movement to stop them. I don't care. Now, I'm going to take a fresh look at Kellogg's Corn Flakes. I'll do some more research here and we'll find out about Kellogg's. They lost my business when they went into GMO. Because, see, of breakfast cereals, I don't eat very many. But Corn Flakes is one of them. And when they started using GMO corn in their Corn Flakes, I stopped buying their Corn Flakes and I went to the health food store and bought Corn Flakes in the health food store. And that's where the market is. That's where I'm at. That's where I'm buying my Corn Flakes. Now, those Corn Flakes in the health food store cost me more money. Now, if I can go to Walmart and get Kellogg's Corn Flakes that are non-GMO, and Kellogg's has grown up, and they got rid of that jerk, you know, that they had there at the CEO level at some point in the past, and they want my business back again, I'll give it to them. I'm not opposed to Kellogg's Corn Flakes. I'm opposed to Kellogg's Corn Flakes that don't have a label on there telling me what they put in it. And they're not telling me that they put GMOs in there. So Kellogg's, I want you to put a great big sign across your Kellogg's cornflakes that says, no GMOs. That's all you need to do. Just put no GMOs. And right away, you're back in my market basket. See how simple that is? And then I'll come on the air and I'll say, geez, you know, that Kellogg's outfit, they grew up, got rid of the jerk, they had a CEO, woke up to reality, got rid of the GMOs, we can go back to buying their cornflakes. The same thing goes with Coca-Cola. You know, there's other sweeteners beside corn syrup. And if Monsanto and all the farmers of America want to grow GMO corn, you know, get after it. That's what freedom of choice is all about, and I'm all for freedom of choice. But then on the other side, there's an Amish guy up here. I just bought 5 tons of corn. I think I mentioned it to you last time because it's non-GMO, open pollinated, and that's what I want to buy, and that's what he's selling. And I went right out in the marketplace, and I bought a bunch of it. There's a market. In fact, I think the marketplace is $6 a bushel, and I think I paid $12 a bushel. I think I gave you a bad steer last time. I said it was $6, and I paid double. The market price is about $6, and this Amish guy is getting double. That's what it is. And I'm willing to pay that Amish guy double the market price because his corn is better. And he's got a label on his corn that says non-GMO. So isn't that just real special? All right, children, we got to leave it right there. Let me remind you that you've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide, over the Internet daily. And if you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. The Law School offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order one for yourself. The number is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We got to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody. And good night, friends.